On Tuesday, January 21st, 2014, I'm calling to order the council meeting of the Borough of Edgewood. Mr. Sakai, will you please call the roll?
Mr. Bright.
Here.
Dr. Wallace.
Here.
Mr. Wainwright.
Here.
Mr. Wilson called. He's out of town. Dr. Petrola.
Here.
Mr. Fuller.
Here.
President Schaefer.
Here. And let the record reflect that the mayor and the solicitor are in attendance. If you'd all please rise to recite the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
At this time, we will entertain items from the floor. If you come to the podium and sign in, state your name, address. You have 5 minutes to report to council. Yes.
Can I?
Yes.
All right.
This is your time.
This is my time. All right. I am Sally Bogey from the library, and I want to make you aware of something that is a conversation that's going on about libraries in Allegheny County. Not just C.C. Miller, but how library service is being delivered throughout the county. It is a survey. It's a discussion that's happening within, well, information is going to be gathered between now and February 14th, and then it will be looked at, and just to put together how libraries should be providing services as we go forward. This is a big time of change for libraries. The technology, all the technology is doing, the competition for public dollars is going to affect library service too. There are changes coming to our state standards, and there are just other dynamics that are at work. So the library thought this was a good time to gather information and find out what it is that people really want and how to best provide service as we go forward with in the years to come. And let me hand out this discussion guide that we had that will help explain some of this. There is a website, www.countycitylibraries.org, and there is a four-question survey that residents of the county are asked to fill in. And it has to do with looking at your library, what is unique about your library, what is unique about the community in which you live, and what things you would like to see happen, thinking both locally for the library, but also countywide too, how best to provide services. And this is a grant that's funded from the Buell Foundation, and this is going to help us go forward with things. So I am giving, hoping you all will take a few minutes to fill out the survey, especially because I know as council you probably have a vision of what you want to see Edgewood be and how the library is part of what goes on in the borough. And if you can help us spread the word to other people too so that they could fill out the survey and we could have a lot of good response from this part of the county.
Sally, we also, C.C. Miller Library also is the library for Churchill and
Forest Hills, Forest Wilkins, and Braddock Hills.
Is there someone from the library going to approach the councils of the other four municipalities?
I will be doing that.
Oh,
yeah. Okay. And the other place we thought we would work too is with the recreation. Well, at least Forest Hills, Churchill, and Wilkins have recreation boards, so that we would talk to them too, because there are some ways that we can interact with those parts of the community. And certainly, you know, Edgewood Foundation is a good place to talk to see, you know, get their input.
The tree times, I think.
Now, the deadline is too far out for that. So their newsletter is April, May, and June.
Okay.
So, anyhow, but you'll probably be seeing more and more as other libraries talk about it too, and maybe public service announcements and that kind of thing.
So are they trying to reconfigure the ACLA distribution or?
Well, actually, part of what is part of this conversation is the the RAD agreement is up next year because the ACLA has a five-year agreement, and so it expires at the end. Well, actually, it expires at the end of this year. So next year could be a totally different year for libraries. But it's not the formula itself that's being rewritten, but it could very well be the dollar amount the libraries receive will be rewritten. Okay.
Any questions for Ms. Bogie? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And if you just let me know when you're going to the other councils, I will try and make reach out to our counterparts.
Okay, fine. Thank you. I will. I'll put that together and let you know. Thanks.
Anything else? All right. The minutes of December 16th are there any changes prior to entertaining the motion? Upon your review, does anybody have anything to say?
I move to approve the minutes of December 16th.
Second.
Thank you. Any questions or comments? Mr. Scani, call the roll.
Mr. Bright.
Aye.
Dr. Wallace.
Aye.
Mr. Wainwright.
Aye.
Dr. Petrella.
Aye.
Mr. Fuller.
Yes.
Ms. Schaefer.
Aye, and the motion passes. January 6th, I have one recommended change that I think was already in the updated version of your minutes. There was a name in the moment of silence. It was Nancy Davis Price that needed to be corrected, and that was in this new version. I think that was the only changes that you made in this version. So is there anything else that anyone else in your review saw? Okay.
I move to approve the minutes of January 7, 2014.
Second.
Any questions or comments? Mr. Kennedy, call the roll.
Mr. Bright.
Aye.
Dr. Wallace.
Aye.
Mr. Wainwright.
Aye.
Dr. Petrola.
Aye.
Mr. Fuller.
Yes.
President Schaefer.
Aye, and the motion passes. Motion to authorize payments of bills for goods and services. Mr. Wainwright.
I move to authorize the payment of bills for goods and services received by the borough, having been reviewed and approved by the General Government Committee from the General Fund in the amount of $49,436.95 and from the Sewer Fund in the amount of $176.39 for a total of $49,613.34.
Second. Any questions or comments? Mr. Price, did you have anything you wanted to say?
No.
Okay.
Normally when Jennifer would basically include it in here is maybe a little increase in salt purchase. We're using a little more of that. And I guess as Julie explained, that comes with an increase in public works overtime to spread it. And also included in there is about $9,500 for our first payment on the street paving loan.
Thank you. And Dr. Petrola, in your packet, you'll receive the bill list. General Government reviews that prior to this meeting and prepares to pay the bills. All of council has the opportunity then to review the bills and ask any questions. Okay. Mr. Scani, call the roll.
Mr. Bright.
Aye.
Dr. Wallace.
Aye.
Mr. Wainwright.
Aye.
Dr. Petrola.
Aye.
Mr. Fuller.
Yes.
President Schaefer.
Aye, and the motion passes. Committee reports. Before we begin the committee reports, you received in your packets, it was a draft of the council committees. We had a new member on council. The rest were incumbents. And I spoke with Dr. Petrola and tried to work with the different gifts and observations that they had. So There were some changes in folks' assignments. If you have any questions or if there's a concern, please just let me know. But as of now, I did want to explain the ad hoc committees to Dr. Petrola and to all of council. I didn't want you to think I was trying to be queen. But I, with Connect, I was the past chair of Connect. And Julie, our assistant borough manager, has been attending those meetings. Mr. Wainwright, you'll be getting the notifications if you can. They meet at 10 o'clock on a Thursday in different locations, which is not conducive to most people's employment schedules. So, and it was once upon a time for me, but not now. And so if there is someone that, you know, on council that wants to go, that's fine. I do get the emails because I'm on the executive board. And the Three Rivers Wet Weather, I'm the chair of the board. So that's why it just, you know, I have to be at the meetings anyway. So, and they meet at 8 o'clock in the morning so I can attend those. So I just wanted to explain, you know, why that was. But if there's, Dr. Petrola, the Council of Governments meets on, what day is that?
Thursday, I don't know which one.
I think it's the third Thursday of the month. It's an evening meeting at Turtle Creek. If you would like to be the alternate for that instead of me, that would be fine. I put my name there. Mr. Wainwright was the alternate before and graciously offered to, you know, share the opportunity with you if you were so inclined. But I did not know what your schedule would be, so I, you know, think about it, okay. And then just let me know so that we could put you as an alternate. Mr. Wilson does attend most of the time and is, you know, kind of likes to go. Just, you know, let me know about that. Okay. So with that, the committee reports are given by the chairs of the committees, and these were the previous chairs of the committees. We will be having a committee of the whole meeting next Monday, and to review the past year, what the different committees were working on, and to set goals for this year. Mr. Fuller will not be able to attend, but he will make sure that there's a report for public safety given by a public safety member. But I hope that all of you will attend, and of course, Mr. Mayor, to have you attend the Committee of the Whole, even though you're not a member of the Committee of the Whole. You know, your input and your observations are always welcome.
Madam President, I was going to ask in reference to that, if you recall, towards the end of last year, I had suggested that the Chief and I report a little bit more succinctly on exactly what it is that people are looking at when they look at the crime statistics to know the difference. Part one, then part two crimes, et cetera. Would that be the time to do it, or would you rather we postpone it for?
No, that would be fine. That would be fine as part
we'll
of the.
Prepare something then for that meeting.
That would be fine.
Great.
Okay. So, that being said, and I apologize for this little interlude, but just kind of wanted to explain things. General government report. Dr. Wallace and Mr. Bright, you've been on, and Mr. Wainwright is going to be chair. Is there any report from general government at this time?
Basically, what I've already, beyond what I've already said, I know the issue of the $9,500 for the, there was an issue to be to pay that earlier than we normally would, I guess, prior to the meeting. But that was in order to make sure that our first payment wasn't late on the loan, so.
Yeah.
That's good.
So, other than the salt thing, that's about it. Okay. This line, I don't know if anything else.
Thank you very much. Police, Mayor Cook?
Yes, other than what we just discussed, I have nothing further to add to the report. I think the next time when we do meet as a council, things will become a little clearer to everybody so that they can, they have questions, it just makes a little more sense. Though I do know that the chief had a few things that he was going to add, and Mr. Fuller was going to say a few things, I believe, as well, in reference to some of the things that have taken place. So I'll let the chief take over, and then public safety.
All right. So who's going to arm wrestle whom? Is chief going first, Mr. Fuller?
Chief, or you? Chief is armed.
Chief?
He has the gun.
We're probably both going to say pretty much the same thing. We had the opportunity to do some interviews on our part-timers. I thought we had some really good candidates. And out of the candidates, we chose three. Three that we chose, we wanted to start a background investigation on. The female that we were looking at came to us and said, I think I'm getting a job offer from Carnegie for full-time. So we had to sort of put her on the back burner and move on with another candidate. But we have three very good candidates that we're very interested in bringing on board. I thought the interviews went well, and we're moving forward with that. So, other than that, I think on the agenda there's issues with the car. We are replacing car six. Car six is about ready to meet its maker, so we're trying not to spend any more money on car six and get this new car in our fleet. So that's on order, and we can probably move fairly quickly with that, get that on board in the next month or month and a half tops.
And we do have a rotation schedule for our police vehicles, so that, you know, we have a plan.
Since we're trying to do a two-year rotation plan so that our car fleet fairly up to date, and we're not running into maintenance issues. And one nice thing about our cars is we're getting the extended warranties that Warren and I have worked on. So with this new car, that will give every car in the fleet an extended warranty, which we hope will cut back on any maintenance issues for Warren and I.
Yes, Mr. Berry.
Madam President, thank you. Chief, it's not going to be good, Chief. Chief called me this morning.
Yeah, unfortunately, I'm calling this morning.
I don't want to get into any specifics on any particular police officers, but I think we've learned how important the hiring process is, and how important I think the background check would be. I'm curious, to the extent you want to talk about it, you know, what you're going to be doing with that back. These appointments are contingent upon the passing of not only the physical and the psychological exam, which is what we do for all our police officers, but also a background check. And I'm just curious as to what you were thinking about there.
We do an extensive background. What I've done is Sergeant Casting has one of the background investigations. Sergeant Bell has another, and then Officer Livingston. All three have done backgrounds in the past for us. We do a very in-depth, detailed background investigation before we even consider hiring anybody. They are looking at starting that right now. We've gotten all the waiver forms signed by the applicants, and each one of those officers will be conducting the investigation into each one of those candidates.
Okay, so that will be completed before they put on our uniform.
Oh, that's the first thing that's completed. Then they would be required to go through our physical, and then finally the psychological. And only until then would they be considered to be.
I think my question is really whether you're going to do the same background check that you would do as part of the civil service process.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
And that's really what my question is.
Thank you.
Yeah, they find things other departments don't find.
Yeah. Yes, you do.
You may learn a lot. And,
yeah, they do.
It's amazing
how good they do.
What our department, when they do a background check, has found that others have not. So we feel very confident. Officer Caskey and LaBelle and Livingston, you know, doing the background checks. And the police officers, once they pass the psychological exam and the background check, will then come to council and be sworn in by the mayor as police officers for Edgewood. We want to do that as part of the public meeting. It's an opportunity for us to meet the officers and for them to get to know us, and also, you know, public record.
And also, they, even though they're part-time, there is a probationary period that they have to serve. So they pretty much run the same gamut as any full-time officer.
Mr. Fuller?
Do you want to explain a little bit why we're hiring the three officers?
Yes. Our manpower issue is what's at stake. We have eight full-time officers at the and we want to try to maintain that particular level. Well, out of the eight full-time officers we have one of those officers who, as we know, has tested for Robinson Township, and he is a veteran, and he is number one on their list. So I talked to the chief on Robinson, and there's a very good likelihood that we'll lose him in the early part of 2014 here. So we have to prepare for that possible loss so that our scheduling won't suffer the overtime consequences that could replace him with full-time officers. Officer Marcus, who is one of our part-timers and is very active in our part-time role, also is on the list, Wilkinsburg list, for number one or two, I'm not sure which, and there's a likelihood that he could also be leaving us in early 2014. We lost Officer Palermo, who has taken the job as Assistant Director for UPMC East for security, and so that opened up some spots for us, so that's what we're trying to do, is shore up our part-time positions so that we don't suffer the consequences of overtime when any of these people leave us.
And I think I know one of the commissioners for Robinson Township, so I'm going to yell at them for poaching our police officers. I'm just going to tell you that right now. Do you have any questions? Yes, Mr.
On a separate matter, on the police vehicle, the additional amount for the police equipment needed to outfit the car from Team Force, that is customized equipment?
That is the red lights and siren and the cages and all the things that go into the police car as far as emergency equipment.
I don't think that we need to do anything special with that, but
it's not above 10 and it's not above 18, so they can choose who they want.
Okay, you're okay with that? I mean,
yeah. In fact, they're better than what the guy we used to use. That's why we switched to them. Several thousand dollars cheaper than the one we were formerly using.
Okay.
Yeah. Number.
Okay. Anything else, Mr. Fuller? You're next.
Public Safety met with the chief and mayor to interview the police candidates, and I must say that they were all very good candidates. I think the toughest part was deciding who would make the cut and who would. It's sort of unfortunate that everybody's favorite did not. Getting a full-time job and will not, you know, withdrew her name, but they were all very good candidates. They're very impressive. It was just a good slate. John, do you want to add anything?
We appreciate the chief's time and the mayor, as well as the committee members, who it was a long evening. Back to back. How many did you have? Six interviews? Eight interviews in an evening. So that your time is much appreciated. Anything else? Anyone have any other questions for public safety? Okay, community development, Dr. Wallace.
Community development did not meet, so we will discuss it at the committee the whole next week about the agenda specifically related to Parcel D, because I just got an update today about the letters just going out, and hopefully we'll have some responses or at least some feedback.
And at the Committee of the Whole, it will be good to get an update for Parcel D, and Dr. Petrola will be able to fill you in on that. Public Works, Mr. Wilson is not here. Mr. Ciccone, you want to talk about sewer repairs?
I could. I had it on my manager's report, but it doesn't matter. I can do it now.
It's the poor Public Works guys were out there as well as...
Well, the Public Works guys were out basically on the salting and at... many nights now, you'll see, is I think John referred to the overtime going up and the salt going up. But on Saturday, John, the foreman, got a call from from John Madigan, and he was up there getting some maps to look. I just happened to come by on Saturday, so I stopped and we had a discussion. They were having a major sewer problem up at the school for the death. They traced it right down almost to the street. The main line was plugged the whole way up. You could smell the sewage. So they were doing some exploring to see where and if it tied into a bore line or whether it come down the street and went into the manhole privately. That was Saturday. Sunday, I met with Mr. Mealy and John Madigan to discuss the proposed project in our borough, because I wanted to make sure that we had at least a handle on a number in case it became our liability. In between, I'd called Justin Stanton, Jason Stanton, Lennon Smith Engineering, and we discussed what was there, the project there, and what needed to be done, and so forth. And he agreed with me that it was definitely an emergency situation. He would supply any documentation we needed if we needed it for that. So I talked to them, and I explained to them where we thought the price ought to be, and John Madden called me about 5 o'clock on Sunday and said, okay, here's our price, which we were close, so I gave him the authorization to go ahead. Starting early Monday morning, they cut the street and they started opening up the sewer. I showed up about 8:30 because he called me and said there was a hole in the street, sinkhole that looks like it's been leaking for a while, so we worked through that and started digging it out. The closer we got down to the main, we could see sewage bubbling out of our main. Make a long story short, I come back in the afternoon, they had dug it out. We had actually got a place cut off of the pipe where we were proposed to hook on our line. So we had Robinson Pipe here doing some vacuuming, sucking of the sewer water so it didn't get into the ground and that. And we ran up there 300 and some feet. The line was clear for about 300 and some feet after shattered it out and cleaned it. And then we ran a camera up there and we could definitely see it was a borough sewer. It was a 12-inch. It had laterals on both sides, left and right, and there's some active laterals we could see in about 100 and, somewhere between 115 and 150 feet, we could see where the lateral for the school for death went off up there. It actually come out of an 8-inch line. So about 3:30, 4 o'clock, I left, and they worked till 2:30 last night between making our connection to the street and getting it all backfilled and making the connections they needed up into the school for death ground. So it is now back working.
And we wanted to get this done prior to the kids coming back.
And they come back Monday night.
Yeah, Monday night.
Did they upsize the 8-inch line?
Pardon?
Did they upsize an 8-inch ladder?
No.
For the entire school?
8 inches is plenty for what they don't take the whole build, all the buildings into it. They take the dorm and the garage and the cafeteria, but the main building, from what I'm seeing, actually goes into the other height. When you get up there to the knob, like on the avenue here, one part of it goes to Walnut and goes down Walnut. The other part coming this way goes down actually to Maple and then joins in and goes under the tracks and goes down the 9 mile run. So what we saw was pretty clear. We did have one piece of pipe missing, but it's not a piece that we have to worry about right now. The wall is good and solid. So in one of our phases, we'll have to have the engineer add a slip lining piece of that area, but the line looks pretty good all in all other than that last piece. I imagine it's probably 80 to 100 years old, so we are done with it now. The only thing that needs to be done is put coal patch on it. I told them we'd do that Public Works, it's cheaper, and then address either if we dress it in our paving program or what, to put the top back on binder and everything. It's interesting, the street up there must be a foot and a half thick in some places. Between School Street and the bend, for right in that area there. So over the years, it just kept getting layers and layers of asphalt put on. Then it looks like about a foot below that, there was another layer of road in there years ago, and they raised the grade back up again and did it. So that's the story of my exciting weekend. It is up and running, and everybody's happy.
I'm in Virginia, Walmart in Virginia, and get a phone call. And also, both John and Warren talked about our DPW folks being out, making sure that the sewer things were being done okay, but also then coming back in and making sure that our streets were clear. As Mr. Fuller texted this morning, our streets are always the best kept streets in the area with our fantastic DPW department.
Madam President, yes. To add to that, it's always nice getting those kind of phone calls. Someone called me and said that they were coming from Squirrel Hill to Edgewood, and they knew they were home as soon as they got to clean streets. So it's always great to hear.
So the overtime and salt is the price we pay.
Well, it's services that the taxpayers want.
It's a service. Yeah, I mean, they can actually see it. I mean, it's... They want to know where their tax money's going. You show them this product, and it's good. I mean,
and it's
good
public safety. Yeah. I mean, you know, the whole it's everything. But it's this time of year, when you see the salt trucks going out at 4 a.m, and you're still in bed in the summertime, then people say, well, just what does the DPW department? It's sort of wait a minute.
We'll gladly accept volunteers to go with
yeah.
them.
Just to add to that, this morning I went out to do my walk, which was an exercise in futility.
Yeah.
But I saw salt trucks 4 times on Walnut, and then another 2 times on Swissvale. So, you can't ask for much more than that. Yeah.
They do a pretty good job for 4 people and 3 salt trucks. We only have 3 spreaders. So.
The guy running around with the one on his back doesn't
get jumped. We put the... We put the leaf blower pack on him to blow the sidewalks off.
Anything else for Public Works? Community Service, Mr. Wainwright?
Not meet.
Personnel, Mr. Fuller?
Did not meet.
Pension, Mr. Bright?
Did not meet.
Three Rivers Wet Weather was supposed to have a board meeting, but we were unable to do so because of scheduling conflicts. Connect had a meeting on Thursday, and they're having an executive retreat on the 30th. That's all I know there. Mr. Barry, solicitor report.
Thank you, Madam President. As mentioned, the letters involving the McDonald's development have gone on. Madam President and I put together a cover letter to go with it, which we're hoping will get their attention. I am meeting with the attorneys for McDonald's from Chicago. They're coming into town for some other reason. I'm going to have egg McMuffins with them on Friday morning. just basically get into the situation. But they offered to come meet with me, and I told them that would be fine. I think that's all I have. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Any questions for the solicitor? Manager report, Mr. Ciccone.
Thank you. Koning Field Taught Playground, we had a pre-bid meeting on 114 here in the borough office. Julie and I attended with the engineer and 3 of the bidders that are interested in bidding the project to answer some of their questions. We will be opening bids on the 28th at 11 a.m. here in the building, and Jason will take them back and review them, and hopefully for February 3rd, I think it is a Monday meeting, we can have possible action on that. Window replacement program, we have all these windows in. We are now waiting for the manufacturer to make the steel windows, and we knew that'd be a delay more than these. So once those get in, we're probably halfway on that project. Allegheny County Economic Development Zoning Grant. Julie and I had the first meeting with Jim Pacek the other day just to lay some ground rules and get the schedule started and see where we're going. So what we're planning on, the first step is Jim is going to come out himself and the one gentleman that's working on this, so we're going to take them for a ride of the community so they can see the different districts and how they interact now. we're scheduling to go to the Planning Commission before Tuesday in February, and then from there on we'll be getting the schedule together for council involvement, Planning Commission involvement, and down the road for public hearings. We're projecting a six-month project, which will probably be 8 or 10 by the time we get everything done and everybody reviews it and gives us our legal okay and everything. And that's where we're at. School signal, Maple Street, I don't know, but if you notice, we got a pole up there about halfway up with nothing on it. The estimate was a little over $12,000 to replace everything. I put it into the insurance company, and they gave me they're sending me a check for 10-something. We had a $1,000 deductible on it. And there was a crazy clause that I never saw, because they actually took $1,100 off for depreciation. But they said that when the project's done, if it goes back up to like at 12, they'll put the $1,100 back in. Okay. So we'll be out at theory $1,000.
Giveth taketh away, yeah. And may giveth again.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Pardon?
Was it a vehicle accident, or it just came down?
High wind.
We were really fortunate that...
Oh, I saw it laying there, actually.
High wind and old age. So we submitted the fire department's report along with some pictures and a claim, and we got a little bit back of our money.
That's good.
I was wondering, because I didn't see the car very well.
So we know if the other one goes down, it's another 12. So. And that's all I have.
All right. New business, once again, just the committee reports and the committee of the whole. I'm going to sketch out an agenda with some of the things that I think the committee, you know, past things, just for a review. Feel free to flesh it out for me. We'll be able to post the agenda. This committee of the whole, since there's a quorum, is open, you know, to the public to attend. But it is a work session. I don't anticipate that we'll be voting on anything. It's just an opportunity for us to set goals and to get everyone up to speed on what's happening. Any other new business?
Sure,
yes,
sure.
Mayor.
I'd just like to remind everybody that the Edgewood Foundation is holding its progressive dinner on February 22nd. There's still time to make your reservations.
And if you've not done that, and I haven't done it in a number of years, although I'm going to do it this year, it really is a wonderful opportunity to get to know folks better. Community.
You want to have George talk about that letter that went out to everybody?
A phone call.
And a letter that was published in a paper. I'm sorry.
To the survivors.
I have an answering machine, and so I never get any of those things. But yeah, Mr. Fuller, do you want to talk about the phone calls that residents who were home received?
The Water Authority was ordered by the DEP to contact all the customers in their system. Apparently in November they had a failure to maintain proper chlorine residuals. It's supposed to be 0.2 ppm and it was 0.19 and 0.185. They were not overly concerned because they did 160 bacteriological tests in their system that month. All of them came back negative. But since it was a violation, they were required by the DEP to talk to everybody in the system. Most of us got phone calls, some people got letters. In my estimation, it was an extremely minor violation. They realized that they were out of parameters, though, and they are going to correct it. So if you smell and taste chlorine in your water over the next month, you know, they boosted the chlorine levels.
Did they give an explanation of why they let it go for 3 weeks?
What happens is they turn their reports to the Allegheny County Health Department. The health department then sends them to the state. So by the time that all happened, by the time the state DEP got the reports and told them that they would have to do it, that was the reason for the time lag.
It's an established notification, right? It's an established notification. They know if they fall below 0.2 that they have to notify their customers that are paying money.
Only if the DEP tells them.
They don't have to notify the... Do they have to notify the customers?
If the DEP requires.
If the DEP tells them to.
That's a requirement of the DEP below that level. That's why the threshold is set. From I read the letter, that's what it said was they were required to notify the customers when it fell below this level, and it fell below that level for 3 weeks, and there was no notification.
Well,
so they mandated a month later that they will go back and mandate for something that happened to
partly, months. Partly because all the bacteria tests became negative, or where it came back negative. But the other thing is, in wintertime, as the temperature of the water goes down, the chlorine demand goes down, and the chemical oxygen, COD, goes down also. So it's not that unusual for them to be less chlorine. I'm not sure why they went below the set limit.
I understand that these thresholds are set, and you for cost purposes mainly, you want to just be above them. But if there's a threshold set, then a notification that's established by the DEP to notify customers, and they fail to do that, that's very concerning to me.
I think because all the bacteriological tests came back negative, they weren't.
But they shouldn't be establishing their own standards. These are standards set that says, if it falls below this level, you have to notify the constituents, your customers. So why didn't they?
I don't know.
Okay. I mean, I understand how things fluctuate, and that's why we all have engineers within our systems to take care of that. But I found it very concerning, because it seemed like they took matters into their own hands and ignored federal standards.
I don't know that... I don't know that, to tell you the truth, I'm not 100% sure that they were aware the levels were below.
That's even more concerning.
Yeah, that's even more disconcerting, actually.
Not necessarily, because the most important thing is the bacteriological test.
Well, I think what Dr. Wallace is saying, and I have to agree, is that and we've lived it here. There is a process in place. There are parameters that are in place, and there's a process whenever you fall out of a parameter, and number one, it wasn't reported. A process that's been established was not followed. Now, why it wasn't followed is, if they've been doing this for 50 years and the bacteria, for us as consumers, it doesn't matter. The fact that they didn't follow a procedure is the issue at this point. That the DEP had them call everyone to tell you that 8 weeks ago you should have boiled your water, I think, and had people become unnecessarily put in panic mode, some people, I think was a little bit overkill from the DEP, because it did the consumer no good that a letter in the mail, explaining that would have been better to make them do that. I think the phone calls caused potentially more panic than was necessary for those who got calls, and those of us who didn't get calls, but I think as a representative of the board, part of the issue is just, a procedure wasn't followed,
and it needs to be.
Yeah. I don't have a doubt that, you know, I mean, I agree with the levels. I mean, I don't, it depends on what the percentages are. What's the normal range? If it's 0.2 to 0.5 and you're 20% below that, then that could be a problem. But I don't know that much about it, and I'll trust your judgment. But if the if there is an established process, like Madam President's saying, and they failed not to, or they didn't follow that, I have a concern with that. Now, if they chose not to follow it because of their own science that some they believed in, then their action should be to go back to the DEP and change the process, change the levels. But if there is an established threshold where notification has to occur, and that is a mandate by the federal government, and they failed to do that, that's all I'm concentrating on. I have a problem with it.
I don't think it's federal, I think it's DEP.
All DEP, or state.
Yeah. Were these robocalls?
Yes.
I mean, I treat my own water anyway.
Believe me, I ran water plant for 8 years, and sometimes we end up in a trace.
but that's what the concern was. And so for residents, you know, I think orally we can, you know, the next sewer confab, you know, we can pull aside some of the DEP people and say, you know, it was important to whack them, but this exercise wasn't helpful to the consumer. It really wasn't. And so a letter where someone could sit down and read it and then be able to formulate questions would have been much more efficient and effective. So anyway.
I wonder if they sent different letters and different phone calls, because my read on the whole thing was that it was a courtesy that DEP said, hey, send it out. Versus the critical time that it, so you have this threshold and this is where the courtesy letter goes out. This one, though, if you go over that, then something needed to happen, and we never got to that point. And that's why we didn't hear, and they sent it as a courtesy to educate us and tell us so that it doesn't suddenly get written up in the paper or something that went awry. I didn't think it was anything that serious, and that maybe the protocol is not to send a letter, but they thought this time, well, that's...
Well, it was the issue itself, what they made the water company, as I understand it, make these phone calls. So,
I get the impression they made them. They said, we want you to, and it's... Well, they work in tandem. I could be telling a mistake.
It's like Chris Christie saying, we want you to close these traffic.
Okay. My phone call was very interesting.
It says we were required to notify you.
Yes.
To boil water.
See, that's what they said on mine.
Well, see, that's what I'm saying.
No.
You know, so and when you have a phone call. And when you have a phone call, there's no way to be certain that what was said was, one, what people heard, and that there was consistency in what was said, unless it was, you know, a recording that everyone got.
Was it, George?
But the other part of that was is that not everyone got the phone call.
Right.
And so, you know, what the if the idea was to notify the consumers and they wanted the water authority to notify all the consumers of an error that they did, it would have been more effective and efficient to do it in a letter than to do these phone calls, where some people got it and some people didn't.
The letter that I refer to is actually on the website.
It's on their website, but it's not.
So downstairs, they posted it here.
Yeah,
when I got the phone call, I would agree that it was somewhat minimized. And then I went onto the website to find out exactly what it meant. And it says for a 15-day period, they did not meet the standards. They were 0.15 to 0.19 as opposed to the level of 0.2. And they were required by the DEP to notify the consumers to boil water during that 15-day period, and they failed.
Yeah. And that's what's on the web.
I don't understand that, because most of the time when you get a boil water advisory, it's for a bacteria, a
currents, and I know all theirs came back negative. There was absolutely no reason to boil water just because the chlorine level was 0.15.
Right. And so, and that's what I mean. So
that's ridiculous.
The bottom line is, this happened. There were no bacteria in the water. Fortunately, there was minimal risk. However, that they didn't report for whatever reason is disconcerting, because they are mandated to do that, and we need to have confidence that they'll follow the procedures that are in place. And that's where consumer confidence and public safety kind of come together. So
I'll find out.
Yeah. So
that's all I was saying.
Right, so anybody got sick in November now blames on the water.
Well, and that's, when it was November, and I thought, well, gosh, that was November. You know, now you're telling me? Well, okay. There you go.
To tell you the truth, I'm a little surprised they don't have automated alarm. You know, to me, it's real easy to set up, an online chlorine.
They didn't do that. The call they made, was that automated, or did they have people actually in the office?
No, they have every water authority is required to have.
Like to refer 911.
Yeah, they can call all their customers in case of an emergency.
Okay, we can check the flow meters during a storm by phone.
Right.
All through the Alcosan region, it comes on your on your phone, not like everyone's phone, but that they don't have that kind of alarm system for chlorine. I don't understand it, but anyway, as our representative, Mr. Fuller, and we thank you for, we know you'll follow up on that. Any other new business? Motion to appoint delegates for Act 32, Mr. Fuller.
I move to appoint Julie Bassianini as the delegate and John Wainwright as the alternate to the Act 32 Tax Board.
Second.
Okay. Questions or comments? Mr. Ciccone, you want to explain this?
Yeah, the Act 32 is new. The board had to be set up locally to collect the wage tax when they had the new legislative a couple years ago. And the board that we are part of is in the Monroeville area. Actually, it's almost a cog in and on out. And they don't meet monthly anymore, but they meet like six times a year probably. And our representative and delegates, assistant delegate, can go to these meetings. They are at a daytime. That's the problem with them. The only issue is that even though when we go, we got like 0.1% of a vote, because they have the votes weighted on population and so forth. So people like Monroeville, Monroeville Borough, Monroeville School District, Penn Hills School District, and a couple of the other ones almost have enough votes to control. But that's the board that's setting up to oversee the collection that Keystone actually does. So it meets, not a lot of critical things done, but we just have to have representation on it. We are impressed with how Keystone is doing a good job on the collection, but that's all that is. And they'll meet like at the beginning of the year at a point to consider maybe a new contract with Keystone, to appoint a solicitor, and things like we do here. So the meeting's only last probably a half hour to an hour.
And mostly, yes, Mr. Wainwright.
Well, I mean, I can probably never make a daytime meeting. I would have to take a day off. So if there's someone else that wants to volunteer and step up, who can? I don't want the borough to lose a vote or representation.
Well, yeah, Julie is the main person.
We get one vote, so it's
we get 0.1% of a vote.
Right.
It's waiting. She don't need you.
We just have an alternate.
Oh, that's fine then, I guess.
Okay. That's why I thought it would be okay.
It's not a big vote. Believe me, by the time it gets to us, it's usually.
Any other questions or comments?
If
anyone has a burning desire, we can, reappoint.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? The motion passes. Exoneration of the tax collector, Mr. Wainwright.
All right, I move to exonerate the tax collector for delinquent list dated January 10th, 2014 in the amount of $36,008.62. Oh, updated, that's right. All right, my apologies. I move to exonerate the tax collector for delinquent list dated 1/21, January 21st, 2014 in the amount of $34,263.90. And send accounts to Pennsylvania Municipal Services for collection.
Okay.
Questions or comments?
I'll make a comment.
Yes.
It's a low number.
Yeah, very low.
It really is.
This is.
We are always 90,
is very good.
90 plus, 93%. So this is.
Yeah, one of the things that our tax collector does is is send multiple reminders. And which isn't necessarily part of what has to be done in that capacity, but has been done, and we have been very successful in our tax collection because I think of that.
What was the collection rate of past delinquencies last year? Do you know?
Of the delinquencies?
Yeah, how much did we recoup?
We'd have to get a printout from Tucker Orangeburg.
Do we pay them a percentage or a retainer? Okay, that's fine.
And Tucker Orangeburg takes most of their fees out of the rules where they can do them. You'll see some of these people that are delinquent, they eventually pay. And after Tucker Orangeburg makes one correspondence with them, they do it. So you can see it's people that know their system or whatever. But they're making more of an effort, I think, to pay our tax first since they know we're coming after.
Mr. Ciccone, you call the roll.
Mr. Brock.
Aye.
Dr. Wallace.
Aye.
Mr. Wainwright.
Aye.
Dr. Petrola.
Aye.
Mr. Fuller.
Yes.
President Schaefer.
Aye, and the motion passes. Motion to hire part-time police officers, Mr. Fuller.
I move to hire Adam Saxon, Tom Fitzgerald, and Joe Miller as part-time police officers, contingent on their passing a physical and psychological examinations and a background check. Pay rate and benefits per the police contract.
Second.
Any questions or comments? All in favor say aye.
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 Anyone opposed? Motion to purchase a Dodge Charger for the police department, Mr. Fuller.
Is this really 2013 or is it a 2014 model?
It is a 2013. We're buying a leftover brand new one that has all the warranties with it, and we're saving an extra $1,500 off the state contract.
I move to purchase a 2013 Dodge Charger police vehicle from TriStar Motors under CoStar's contract 013-049. Price of the vehicle is $25,489. This includes the cost of the extended warranty. Also to purchase police equipment needed to outfit car from Team Force in the amount of $7,806.95 for estimate 1367 dated 1/16/14.
Second.
Questions or comments? Mr. Solicitor, do you have any other comments regarding this that we have before us?
You know, obviously we're proceeding under the state contract, which we discussed before. For Dr. Petrol's benefit, we have requirements for something, I guess, where we would have to bid it out, that we can't just buy something unless we do what is known as a piggyback. And what we're doing is very typical nowadays. Very efficient. We're buying this vehicle off of a state contract that was bid out. So because the state bid out the contract, we don't have to go through the expense of doing that, and we're just utilizing their bid. The other typical example of us doing that would be if we purchase something through the COG, either our COG, which is Turtle Creek, or Mitchell, South Hitchcock, we've used both of them. So, you know, it saves us money because we don't have to advertise it, and it's a good bid. That's a good price for a police vehicle, obviously.
Any other questions, comments? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
To my knowledge, there is no need for executive session. We have a COW next Monday, and the council meeting in February is February 3rd, I believe.
Yes.
And the COW meeting at what hour?
7.
7.
A.M. or P.M.?
P.M. this morning.
A.M. Be here, George.
Yeah, be here, George.
Start with us.
I could make 7 a.m.
Good. There you go.
Can we have a motion to adjourn?
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you all very much, and have a nice day. You can still get to the second half of NCIS. And we're doing education as well.
Stay warm the next 4 days.